Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Trey. How are you today, sir?
Fine, sir. How about yourself?
Doing well. Everyone, welcome to another episode of On Point. I'm here today with my co-host and best friend out there, Trey Salam. Trey, how was your week?
Okay, a lie? Oh, it was fantastic. The truth, man. And I'm going to just leave it at that.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I hope it does get better for you in whatever nature or fashion that we need it to. And this week we got some really, really interesting topics that we're going to talk about. We got two segments this week. In our first segment, we're going to look at the double-edged sword of derogatory words and those meanings that we derive for them from them and those roles that we utilize them for in today's society. We're also going to look at how sometimes when we utilize common sense and common knowledge, we find that when we don't, history escapes us, and we forget about the nature and the root of some of those words. And I know you and I had a really, really interesting conversation about that, and I'm going to touch on that again once we get started. And then our second segment today, we're going to do some behind closed doors. And the topic is, she says no, but why? So we're going to look at the many reasons why a lady says no about that special time in the relationship. And we're going to also look at some of the reasons that men and women have that communication breakdown on that physical level and why many women say no or turn their guy down. So we're going to talk about those two things today.
Before we get started, I want to say take a moment, a special moment. Some of you know, and some of you may not know, James and I are involved in a project, an independent film project, and it's called End Quick. One of the cast members and a good friend of ours, one of our cast members, he's playing a character named Kyle. He lost his brother day before yesterday. So we want to wish our fondest and warmest condolences to his entire family, to him and his family.
Indeed. Condolences. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you something.
Sure.
Have you ever been dating a lady and everything's going smooth, you've got that established relationship, and now that you have that established relationship, maybe you come home after work or it's Friday night or whatever, and you're like, hey, baby, you know, why don't you come close for a minute?
Right.
And she says to you, no, because, what's that because that you hear?
Okay. Let's say it's been established. It's been established. We're all adults here, except for that little girl right there listening. Go to your room. But we're all established adults here. But your relationship is done. You've talked. You've had the communication. Everything is wonderful. You've even shared an intimate moment. But this time she says no. To me, guys don't get away with saying no. We don't say no. Females say no.
Well, let me ask you this: if you say no to your girl, what does she say to you? And I know we jumped subjects, and I was just so interested in this topic, I put it first. But I want
to
talk.
I understand.
If
the first
man says no,
the first thing a female says if you tell her no is, "Who you bucking? Who you bucking? Why?" And it's like there could be no. Let me see. Hold on. Has anybody heard this before? I have a headache. That's the stereotypical one. It's that time, which is totally acceptable.
Understood.
I don't feel well. Okay, possibly. You know. Okay, accept it. I had a bad day. I'm upset. for something you did last week. Wait, there's more. Why do you want to all the time? Okay, if a male looks at you and he has the desire to be with you on a regular basis, you got that, every now and then you got that individual who is just low budget and is just greedy. But if your fella is at home and it's you, that's because you set off that trigger. We actually like something. And those of you that know me know it, they know. Love is wonderful, but it's so diluted sometimes. But when you actually like something, you adore it. You admire it. We like you, so we like spending time with you. Hence, we like the idea of being passionate with you. So when you go like, I can't think, I just stubbed my toe. My girlfriend just lost her job and I'm distressed. To me, females get away with saying no more than they say yes. That's just my opinion.
Okay, well, I also want to put out that this is not a lady bashing session. It's not that.
No,
my question, right, and what it comes out of is because, you know, I dated folks, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm interested in you at this very moment. And they say, why? I'm like, it's a day that ends in Y. That's good enough for me. That's all that, you know, that it takes. That's all that matters.
Right.
But I understand, you know, that, you know, sometimes, you know, not everybody's in the mood all the time. Hey, you know, that's okay. I understand that. I brought the question up because I'm curious because, like I said, I've been in a relationship where I've told someone no, and it was because, you know, maybe I was injured or something like that, which I think is acceptable. But out of that, I got a lot of flack. And it wasn't so much about, are you seeing somebody else? It took a whole other turn, and she asked me if I still like women. And I'm like, whoa, hold up a second. You know, it totally went off the rails. Because at that particular moment, I said, hey, I need a minute. You know what I mean?
I had a female tell me, okay, that's your leg. your leg is injured. Yeah, but what about this? Why did that stop all of a sudden? Imagine if a female told you that. She said, I hurt my back. And he said, dang, I'm sorry, baby. You hurt your back. But what about that other spot? It won't work.
Right.
It won't work.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, because I've heard, you know, hey, I'm not feeling well. I have a headache. And for me, I'm like, I got a headache. But you know what? I can put the headache on pause for a little bit and get back to it. And afterwards, I'll take a couple of extra Tylenol, whatever. We can work through the headache. I'm okay with that. I'll take that pain for now. It's okay. I can get back to the headache. You know, an ice pack and some Tylenol, we're good.
And my friend Wendy Hodge said, work that on out. And I'm going to tell you, and in case you didn't know, that's the perfect stress reliever. All natural. No additives, no preservatives.
Right, and you know, if you're stuffy and you're not feeling well, there's a lot of antihistamines that come out and all that stuff. But I mean, we're going down a different path. But hey, it works. I mean, you know, you don't have any trouble breathing, you know. But
and it's good for the heart.
You know. Oh yes, absolutely. I think it's the equivalent of running roughly 6 miles or something in terms of aerobics.
Yes.
And so that's kind of a cool thing. But you know. And we talked about that, and out of that, like I said, I've been called a name out of that. And I was a little upset about the name that I was called. And I'm not going to bring that up, but that kind of takes us, and I know I'm jumping to the other segment because I think it ties in. And you and I had a conversation the other day.
Yes.
About a couple of specific words in the English language, some that folks of a darker melanin tend to utilize. And I find that a little bit disturbing. And I think what I brought up to you is I was having a conversation with you about it, and we were discussing how some people accept derogatory words as terms of endearment or cariños or whatever you want to call them, pet name, apodos, whatever. And the conversation that we had is we talked about the N-word and we talked about the B-word. And I remember you mentioning a couple shows back, that you saw a few ladies getting together and they utilized the B-word as a term of endearment towards each other and themselves. And I thought, you know, in the conversation we had, I said, you know, if a guy walked up to his lady and said, hey, how you doing, you effing a-hole, and she got upset with him, and he said, baby, why are you getting upset? That's the same as when I call you the B-word. You don't get upset, man, or you call your girls the B-word. And I'm thinking, we as a society we've lost it. Because I had a buddy once. What's that?
We've allowed too much. I'm sorry. We've just allowed too much. They figured that derogatory things are just commonplace. You're going to see this, our public, our listeners. You're going to see this, and it's going to be called the social experiment. And but imagine this: you see a couple females, and this is real. I'm not going to blame all the world's problems on the Kardashians, forgive me if it comes across that way, and if this is profane, I'm sorry. It's just we're adults, so here we go. They went like this. One of them left, and she's like, I'm off to New York. Later, bitches. And they all laughed and giggled and called it a day. And then the female came back some other time, and she went and she said, I'm back. Did y'all miss me, bitches? And they all laughed and they giggled and they called it a day. And you see these females on the street right now. I have females, friends right now. You know, Z knows, I know, you know, everybody knows. And they go like, you upset one of them. You upset one. And this actually happened. The guy said, you need to get the hell out the way. And the first words out of her mouth was, oh no, you got a bitch twisted. For those of you who are not familiar with the vernacular, it just means, I think you have me misread. You have this particular female misread. She said, oh no, you got a bitch twisted. You don't know the kind of bitch I am. Now imagine this, just like Jane said. You walk up to her and you go like, damn, you are a beautiful bitch. What's your name? A fellow will probably catch it in the right. We'd catch a left and a right. But my question is, what's the difference between me addressing you endearingly and you saying it about yourself? The same with the other word, the now infamous N word. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Britannica.
Bro, I had a buddy call me that at work, and I almost had to beat him down. And you know, that's not my character. I try to be a gentleman and be properly spoken and address things in a very cognizant, salient manner. But he was joking around, and he was like, and he said it in a sarcastic, but what he would probably call a loving fashion. And I really struggled with wanting to put my hands around his neck for a second and say, don't you know that that is inappropriate? Now, I restrained myself, and I had a conversation with him. But it's just, you know, that's become commonplace. Where you go back to the 1600s and prior and moving forward as well, that was such a word with such a negative connotation to it. And we've turned that negative connotation into, as we mentioned, a term of endearment. And that just baffles me. Because,
yeah.
And I hate to cut you off, but
right, go ahead,
I'm going to say this last thing, and I'll give you back the floor. It was Sarah Palin, and not that I want to mention her on the show or anything like that, but she mentioned that someone called one of her kids, I think they use the term retarded. And when I grew up, honestly, politically correct, that was the term. It wasn't, you know, disabled or mentally challenged. People said retarded. And my point that I bring that up is it's kind of a horrible word, but, you know, there's no way you're going to have a child that's developmentally challenged and say, come here, my little you're not going to say that.
No.
And I think that if you've replaced the N-word, the B-word, and there's a couple other words out there that people use that shouldn't be utilized, that are used in those types of, you know, connotations, It just doesn't happen. And for me, it baffles me that so many people do that. I was in Hawaii. No joke, Trey. I went in to a Circle K, and this is back when Street Fighter was popular. I know I'm dating myself. It was in the 90s. Two little Hawaiian boys were playing Street Fighter. And one got a good move on the other, and he was like, oh, you effing N-word. And I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. Like, how do y'all use that word? And against each other. Like, you follow me? And I was just really taken aback.
Here's something I see, and they figure if you use it enough, and this is a specific group in society, it came across out of a law firm and was presented in court. A lady lost her job because she called a friend, her black friend, the word out of to fit in, and they didn't like it. So it went all the way to court. Not going to give it any more life. The fact of the matter was, they said, well, if you use it enough, it becomes just nothing more than another word. Okay, great. Let me give you some definitions, just three. The border between Mexico and Texas, there's a place, the Rio Grande, the river. You have individuals that try to get, that cross the border illegally through there. They swim. Okay. Then there's another definition. This one is an angered female dog in heat. An angered female dog in heat. And here's another one. Ungodly, subhuman, uncouth, indignant, belligerent. Uncouth, indignant, belligerent, individual, not of a natural course in our country. In our country, who wrote that? Nonetheless, soulless, soulless, one who is godless or black in character, structure, spirituality, and physicality. Britannica, Funk and Wagnalls, and Orman's Dictionary. Those three definitions are, one, for the Rio Grande, a wetback. Two, for the angry female dog in heat, a bitch. And for the other one, that just seems like you're a parasite and everything less than human, a nigga. For those listening, if you ever hear this, please take a step to correct that individual. If that's the, don't take my word for it. Google it if you'd like. I could repeat everything I just said because I found the definition, not just yesterday, not just today, not last week, years ago. Funk and Wagnalls, I believe, is no longer in existence, but if you Google it, they'll probably tell you what it is. And Google will also tell you the entire dictionary that was listed from the early 1700s for Britannica, Orman's, and Funk and Wagnalls. The definition doesn't change. In Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, there's a passage in Romeo and Juliet that says, a rose by any other name would it smell as sweet.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no before you even go. Because if we call it a skunk flower, I venture to say many of those people would bend over to smell them. That's just me.
I'm going to just tell you. So, I have associates, acquaintances, and friends who are Hispanic, and I've heard some of them say, don't call me a wetback because I am here legally, which means they recognize the definition to what that is, and it's listed as derogatory. Now, let's go back to generations. Call your mother a bitch or your grandmother a bitch. It's a wrap. They can't find nothing cute about it. There's nothing endearing about it. And they didn't call their best friends that either. That was used to describe a female of a lower class. a female who was dirty or disrespected. And just so that we're clear, under no circumstances, in any way, form, fashion, or manner, am I ever to be addressed as a nigga, as your friend, or anything else. Now, I know people who say it. I just don't, I don't jump on board. You've had to know me for years. But because I know what it means, I can't unwrap my mind from around that. And that goes on with other things. You know?
Well, you know, you made me think of something, and I'm going to tie this into last week's discussion, because last week we talked about addressing the youth and correcting them when they need correcting and praising them when they require praise.
Right.
And your story about calling grandma the B word reminded me of something that I read. And it was about a gentleman, his grandson, and the gentleman's wife. The gentleman was at work. The granddad was at work. The little boy got into an altercation with the grandmother and called his grandmother the B word. And I found that disturbing. Because if my son ever thought of doing something like that, we're going to have a whole other conversation.
I'll be a pallbearer.
Never have done so many push-ups in his life. I mean, he can do push-ups till his arms fall off. But getting back to the story, calls his grandmother the B-word. Grandmother doesn't say anything to the kid. She just kind of, she's a little confounded, and she steps back, and she tells granddad. Granddad comes home, and he says, hey, little Johnny or whoever it was, hop in the car. Granddad takes little Johnny for ice cream. Little Johnny thinks he's gotten away with it. And granddad pulls him to the side, and he says, hey, look, I understand you had a disagreement with your grandmother. I get that. He says, but you called her something inappropriate. He says, it's not just the fact that you called your grandmother something inappropriate. He says, you hurt my wife. And he says, the next time you hurt my wife, I'm going to hurt you real bad. And guess what? No more problems out of that little boy. Now, I don't know what your grandpa meant by hurt the little boy real bad. I don't think he meant waterboarding or, you know, electric shock therapy, anything like that. But the point is he stepped up to the plate and said, hey, little dude, you don't call grandmother anything other than grandmother or some term of an actual endearment. You don't use that word. And I think I commend that grandfather for handling it, but in the way that he did. He took him out for ice cream, sat him down, and said, hey, look, you don't say anything. It's not that this is just your grandma. That's my wife. And what he did is he set the table for that little boy to understand that when he has a girlfriend or a wife, standard that is set, that
exactly.
is to be followed and adhered exactly. to, that now that little boy knows if anybody crosses that line and says that about my wife,
it's a wrap.
Handle that.
It's a wrap. Here's something on that. There's an individual right now listening who actually forgot that those terms they're relevant to you as well. You wouldn't allow somebody to call your daughter one out of anger.
Right.
If they were like this, if you were walking down the street and you had a daughter, male or female, matters a damn, you walking down the street and then somebody walked up to you, man, that's a cute little bitch you got right there.
Oh, it's a fight.
I don't know anybody that would say, thank you, man. I'm raising this bitch just right. I don't know anybody that would say that. Oh, thank you. I dressed this bitch myself this morning. I don't know anybody that would say that. So there's no double standard with this. There's no double standard. You're complaining about how females nowadays and young men nowadays are so disrespectful and how they have no common sense and how they have no general idea of what the concept of respect is. Yet and still, you still go on and do exactly the same damn thing that you don't want them to do. Stop it.
Yeah.
You want to see bad makeup? You want to see bad makeup? Look in the mirror. Fix the bad makeup, and you'll get a better reflection. And, yeah, that's my quote. I'm just saying, that's just how it is. You don't want – stop it. You can't say anymore. Stop it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's basically that's the point of it. But I think, too – you know, we have to look at it from a societal perspective. And I think I want to say a cultural perspective an intercultural perspective and an intracultural perspective, because in all those lenses, it's been acceptable. It's been accepted for so long that it's become the norm. It's kind of like, you know, we talked about something a while back, and I said, you know, the first time, you know, it's an accident. The second time, it's a coincidence. The third time, it's a pattern. And see, there's, it's kind of like that person who does something they know is wrong. The first time you do it, you're like, oh, I might get caught. The second time, it's like, oh, I didn't get caught. The third time, I'm good at this. And it's funny that after doing something so many times, you know, it becomes a habit. And I think that's what's scary. When bad things become habits, that for me is just ridiculous, because you have these people who are just somnambulating their way through life thinking that whatever they do or say is acceptable, not looking at the consequences, or they heard it on TV or their friend said it. Let my son come home and say, oh, that B.I.K. No. let me get your pencil and some paper. We're going to write some sentences about how we properly address people. And I think we've forgotten how to do it. And two, those of us that know, a lot of us aren't passing the word on. We're just not passing the word. We're not bringing those, or even the youth, or addressing our buddies. And like I said, when I had my buddy call me that name, and he was using it kind of jokingly as a term of endearment, I was like, well, hold up, brother. Let me talk to you about something. That is not an acceptable word in my vernacular. Okay, I don't use it. You don't use it on me. And the next time that this comes up, it's going to be a different conversation. Right. And I think that has to happen more often. And, you know, and a lot of people, oh, we're blaming on rap music, this, that, and the other. Okay, that's a very small portion of it. Why does it happen? Because we're accepting it in so many other places that it's okay for that to happen. And my thing is this. I would never call anybody. I tease my buddies and stuff like, and I think we teach you about like your web browser in the past and stuff like that. There's no name calling in that. But what I'm saying is I would never refer to anyone in any type of fashion that I would be afraid to say that same thing in front of or to my grandmother. And exactly. That's kind of like the ethics test. If you won't say it on the 6 o'clock news or to your grandmother, you probably shouldn't say it.
Here's the thing.
And
I didn't mean to cut you off. Here's the thing. Our moral compass has been skewed as of late. Because we're made.
Some people don't even have them.
We're made to, and I concur, we're made to accept so much stuff that is not generally acceptable. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've become a nation of super independent individuals that depend on everything. It's just true.
Now that needs to be on a t-shirt.
You know, it sounds like an oxymoron, but it's so true. And they go like this: you can't tell me what to do. Let me check with my focus group. They'll tell you. Really? You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's my look, but it's very true. We've accepted everything.
Yeah.
Hey, we're running out of our time, but we're glad that you were able to join us this weekend. And we thank you so very much. You've helped push our numbers up, and we thank you for participating. Raise your glasses.
And I'd like to add one other thing, Trey. You know, it's been just a little over a year, and we've had folks that have been with us and hanging with us for this whole year. I know that this isn't our actual annual show, but those of you who have been with us, we really appreciate you taking the time to hang with us and listen and chime in and call. Brother Trey, take us out, if you would, please.
Hey, raise your glasses, bottoms to the top. Remember, every thought is grand, every idea is warranted. And for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point. See you next week, everybody.
See you next week. Peace.